Good morning, good morning.
Good
How about
morning,
you,
good morning,
Governor?
Doctor.
You're a good man. Okay, let's begin. Are you ready? Because,
I'm ready. I'm holding my breath because
I'll
you
bet
can
you.
never really be ready for Alan Chartok, but I'll do my best.
So how do you like being the Albany governor and living up there in the mansion where your father lived, where you grew up in part? Do you go out and play b-ball as your dad did with the kids in the neighborhood? Has anything changed?
What has changed is, first, I love Albany, right? I went to law school in Albany before my father was ever governor, and then we had those 12 years. And as you know, my father's whole life was in Albany and all the family events, et cetera. So I've been very close to Albany since my 20s. What has changed is my girls are basically out of the house. I was living in Westchester. They were going to school. They're now 22, 23, and they have what the youngest is in her last year of college. The other two are making their way, and they're living in Manhattan. So my life is basically simple, Alan, as you know. I work, and then I spend time with the family.
Well, do you like
And
it? I mean, do you like it there? I mean, I would find it, I don't know. I don't think I'd like to be living in that governor's mansion.
why not?
It's big and musty and, it's just not to my liking. So
Well,
I wouldn't want to be there.
it is a little musty, but it had a feel of a museum because no
Right.
one really lived in it. It was
Right.
homey when my mother was here and my father was here. My mother redid the whole mansion at the time. She put together this historic preservation committee, and she redid it. And there was a vibrancy or a vitality to it. And then, really, no one has lived in it since. And they've just done periodic events. But no, I have a lot of fond memories here. I remember my father, my sisters got married here. All the holidays were here. And also, there is something to being in Albany. It is the state capital. It is the seat of government. And I think it shows the Albany area respect.
So
A
were you
member.
delinquent? Were you delinquent in not having done it earlier? I mean, you've been governor for a long time now. Now you say it was to the girls and everything else, but didn't the people of the state come first?
Well, I spent more time in Albany than any of my predecessors, even when the girls were in the house, and I would go up and down, often on the same day. But the people of the state come first, except for my family. It starts with doing the right thing by your family. I believe that. That's the inner concentric circle. If you're not doing the right thing by your family, Alan, how can you do the right thing by anyone else?
Well,
How
how
can you
about
do
doing
the
both?
extended community? I
How about
believe
doing both?
I did my best to do both. I have been more present in Albany. I've been more present around the state than past governors. I'm all over the place. And I believe it's important that you show up, and I show up. I believe in that, whether it's in an emergency, for sure, I'm on the scene, or just day-to-day presence, I show up. But being a present, engaged father was my and is my first job. I believe that.
Okay, fine. I got it. Puerto Rico, hurricane. What is the state of New York doing to help out? Anything?
I spoke to the governor of Puerto Rico yesterday. We were very involved after Hurricane Maria. If you remember, we had a federal government that just fell down on the job. With all due respect to the presidency, I don't care what President Trump says, FEMA was not present after Hurricane Maria. I know I was there. I was in the federal government under Clinton. I did disaster assistance. I know what the federal government is supposed to do, and I know they did not do that. And New York State, to the benefit of New Yorkers, really filled the void after Hurricane Maria left by a failed federal government. We sent utility companies down, National Guard, state troopers, millions of dollars in aid. I think we were vital to the recovery after Hurricane Maria. Now, Puerto Rico hasn't even fully recovered, and they were looking at a second possible storm, which thankfully has passed. Mm. And the president was saying, was already putting down markers, basically saying that the issue is the Puerto Rico government itself and not the federal government. So we were ready to step in if they needed help. Luckily, I think the storm has passed them, and now we make the same offer to Florida. Our emergency management team has communicated with the Florida emergency management team. Anything they need, we stand ready. We probably have the most sophisticated emergency management operation in the country. I came with a background in emergency management. We've had more emergencies in this state than any other time. This is all new. Anyone who says there's no extreme weather, there's no change in the weather pattern, is denying reality. We've had superstorms, hurricanes, floods. Every couple of weeks there's something, power outages from hailstorms last week. So we've invested over $100 million in equipment, personnel, training. We also have the terrorism threat in this state that we take very, very seriously after 9/11, et cetera, and we know we're a target. So we have a very sophisticated emergency management system, and whenever we can help anyone else, we stand ready.
Okay, let's go to Senator Gillibrand. I know you've spoken on this a little bit now. She dropped out of the race for president last night. In a statement, you called her a good friend and added New York is happy to have her back working full time. Now, was that a backhanded compliment?
No, that was a compliment.
Well, wait a second now. You say we're glad to have her back working full time indicates that she wasn't working full time.
Well, she was running for president.
Yeah, so
that takes a little time.
I understand.
So whatever
that
time she was spending running for president and walking around the cornfields of Iowa, she now doesn't have to do that.
Ah, come on, so now walking around the cornfields of Iowa. That's a sort of backhand slap.
No,
cornfields of Iowa.
There's nothing backhanded here. She was running for president. She is now not running for president, so her sole focus will be representing the people of the state of New York. I know the senator personally. She worked with me at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I know her, and I am very fond of her on a personal level.
But you didn't endorse her? When I asked you on this very program, I said, are you going to endorse her? And there was quiet. So you didn't endorse her. So she was a fellow New Yorker. How can you justify that?
I have not endorsed anyone for president yet.
Well, you've certainly...
No, it's binary. You endorsed or you did not endorse.
No, that's wrong.
I have said how I feel about Joe Biden. I also have always been complimentary to the senator. I think she is great. She was great with me at HUD. She was a great congressperson. She is a great senator. We have a great relationship. She's super bright, super hardworking, and I think she's a star, period. And what I said about her yesterday was nothing but straightforward and complimentary. And what I've always said about her is nothing but straightforward and complimentary.
Okay. You reportedly spoke with U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao after President Trump's tweet about finishing the Second Avenue subway. I have no idea where that one came from, by the way. What's the latest on funding for that project?
Well, we will know if the president has told the truth or has he lied. You know,
do you think this president lies?
Do I think the president speaks untruths at times? Yes, I do. Do I think he tweets statements that are not factually accurate? Yes, I do. Has it been proven? Yes, it has, time and time again. One of the main issues in this campaign is going to be the president's credibility and the consequence of his actions. I think the main issue in this campaign is going to be, what does it mean to be an American, and what do we believe as Americans, and make America great again, what do you think America stands for? But within that, it's going to be his credibility. He tweeted, and I have asked the president repeatedly, please help New York. Everything he has done has been a negative to New York. His SALT tax reform was an economic dagger at this state. And he knew it, and we forcefully fought against it. He did it anyway. Gateway tunnels to New York City, which affect the entire Northeast, he's failed to fund. We're doing airport improvements all across the state. His Federal Department of Transportation has not given us a timeline that allows us to complete all the work on time. The Second Avenue subway, I spoke to him about. That is a project in Manhattan that's been going on for decades. It requires federal funding. He tweeted, in effect, that he is going to provide the federal funding, and he either will or he will not. Right?
Do you believe him?
He tweeted it. We will find out if he can be believed. I did speak to him about the project. The project has been in his federal DOT. I have spoken to the Secretary of Transportation about it, the federal secretary, Secretary Chao. This has been going on for a long time. He tweeted that he's going to be helpful. And we will now know. It will be true or it will be untrue.
Sometimes you think it's untrue, don't you? Come on now. Peel away the political, stuff and say, I don't really believe him. Do you?
Well, let me put it this way. If he lied here, it will be definitive, glaring, and obnoxious. And there will be no debate as to whether or not he told the truth or not, right? You listen to these news shows at night, Alan, and they come up with every reason to justify where somehow it wasn't a lie, right? The president said it, but it wasn't a lie. Okay, he said now he's going to fund the Second Avenue subway. Either the money comes or the money does not come. And there's no gray on this one.
So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? You think it's going to come or not? I mean, forget it. You're talking to your daughters. You're talking around the table. I'm just asking that question. So, Dad, you think it's going to come or not?
Between just us, Mariah, Michaela, Cara, I don't have a high level of confidence in what this man says, no.
I like it. Okay, now, I don't know why, but I know that you guys are concerned with the Kosciuszko Bridge, not the one up here, but the one down in New York. You've just opened it up. You put money into it. Should we upstate care about that bridge down there?
Yes.
Because?
Because we are one state, and because that bridge, Kosciuszko, as the Polish ambassador told me, it's pronounced Kosciuszko. By the way, we do have one outside of Albany.
Yep.
Thaddeus Kosciuszko is an amazing story and has current relevance. When we talk about who is, what is America about, who are Americans, Thaddeus Kosciuszko, a Polish immigrant, came to help in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
He was a military engineer. Thomas Jefferson called him one of the great sons of liberty. Kosciuszko came up with the idea of the 60-ton chain strung across the Hudson River from West Point to stop the British ships from going up the Hudson. This was a Revolutionary War hero, Polish, We were all immigrants. We were always immigrants. We were formed from immigrants. But the bridge, the Kosciuszko Bridge between Brooklyn and Queens, is part of a much larger statewide program rebuilding our entire transportation system. It's the Kosciuszko Bridge. It's LaGuardia Airport. It's JFK Airport. It's Rochester Airport. It's Syracuse Airport. It's Plattsburgh Airport. It's the Ithaca Airport. It is Schenectady Train Station, Niagara Train Station. We are doing more infrastructure, which is a terrible word, transportation rebuilding than any state in the United States of America. And they are all connected, the bridges, the airports, the roads. I want to make sure this state has the best transportation system in the country because that is the greatest economic advantage we can have as a state. The state of the future, the state of business's future. You want to locate your business, you want to grow your business, do it here because we have the key to your business growth, which is accessibility and transportation. And that is the most ambitious program in the nation. It's not a plan. It's not a vision. It's not a proposal. It's not a press release. It's a shovel in the ground today, upstate and down.
Let me just refer you to my ex-student, Alex Storozynski. He won part of a Pulitzer Prize. He's one of the great ones that I've taught over the years, including, you know, Mr. Azzopardi in your office. I don't think I'm given the kind of credit I deserve for all of the good things that I have brought to students over the years.
I give you the credit. Azzopardi, I'm going to leave alone. Do you consider Azzopardi one of the great ones?
I do. I mean, he's your senior advisor. I see that senior advisor. He's a kid as far as I know. I mean, he hasn't been there a long time, but he's your senior advisor.
Senior in terms of gravitas.
Well,
not just age, gravitas.
So I want to refer you to Kosciuszko, A Man Before His Time, by Alex Storozynski. You know, he knew his stuff, and I just want to grab a little credit for myself if I can here.
Please, you deserve it. You deserve it. I'm the first one to give it to you.
I'm also not
the first one to point out the opposite on the rare occasion that it happens.
Right. Okay, so now the bridge now has three more lanes. Will that, you know, open up traffic in New York City?
The Kosciuszko in New York City was the legendary bottleneck. It was between Brooklyn and Queens.
Right.
It was 80 years old. It was built at a much different time, and it was a choke point that went to, the capacity was 10,000 cars. We had 200,000 cars going over it. I remember as a kid, we lived in Queens. My father worked in Brooklyn. He planned his life to avoid the traffic on the Kosciuszko Bridge. We called it the Kosciuszko Bridge, but it should have been redone decades ago. We got it done on budget 4 years ahead of schedule.
Who paid?
4 years.
Who paid?
We paid.
The state paid, state tax dollars, any federal tax dollars?
There were, I believe there were some federal tax dollars that had already been assigned during the Obama administration.
Okay. So now, Congressman Tom Reed of New York's 23rd District sent a letter to Attorney General Bill Barr over what he says is your failure to fix a stretch of Interstate 90 that runs through the Seneca District, asking you to be investigated by the U.S. Department of Justice over misuse of federal funds. What do you say about that?
Shocker that the Republican administration wants to use U.S. attorneys to do political investigations. I'm shocked. Gambling. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And speaking of gubernatorial peak, last week or so, we had a discussion. We've just talked about it on the Media Project. When I talked to you about the Fredo comment, you sort of went off on the whole thing. Have you had any time to think about that at all?
No, I haven't. Did not go off. I don't have gubernatorial peak. I am too calloused have been too abused by too many, including you.
I knew you were going to say that.
To take anything personally anymore. However, having said that, as governor of this state, I have no tolerance for discrimination, especially in this environment, whether it's anti-Semitism, anti-LGBTQ, anti-African-American. Anti-Semitism is up 83% in this state.
Do you know why? Do you have any sense of why that is? Because you've been very articulate on that.
It is this current national intolerance. It is this political and societal fear and anxiety that is taking our diversity and making it a weakness instead of a strength.
Are you blaming the president? Because, you know, he's got a son-in-law, he's got a daughter who's a convert to Judaism, he's got Mnuchin and all those other guys up there who happen to be Jewish. So how can we say that he's responsible in some way for anti-Semitism?
Because once you unleash the dogs of hatred, Alan, you cannot control them. The president campaigns on divide and conquer. That's how he won the presidency. That's how he's trying to win the presidency again. They are the problem. The people who are different. The immigrant people, the brown people, the Muslim people,
But the Jewish people?
I don't believe he has specifically targeted Jewish people. But when you demonize differences, you can't control where the hate goes, right? You look at these mass shootings. You look at the Temple shootings, El Paso shootings. Once you unleash that fear and anxiety, it spreads like a cancer. And this is an American cancer. I happen to be of Italian-American descent. Stereotyping, negative stereotyping, negative slurs have to be confronted wherever you see them. And for the Times Union to say, we meant it as a joke. Well, you know what? It wasn't a joke. And you know what, doctor? Many of these slurs were jokes.
Yeah,
right.
That's
true. I meant it as a joke. I didn't mean to be anti-African-American or anti-gay. It was a joke. It wasn't a joke. And if it was intended as a joke, it was a bad joke. And the word should have been, I am sorry. I apologize. I meant it as a joke. It wasn't taken as a joke. The lead Italian-American organization in the state, the Columbus Citizens Foundation, sent the Times Union a letter saying it's discriminatory and stereotyping against Italian-Americans. They didn't even publish the letter. I didn't hear your media project. But look, you can't take a position as a publication. I can do a column. I can put it out there, put my opinion, First Amendment, free speech. Oh, but nobody can comment. Don't comment. And I don't want to hear any negative feedback. And if you send me a negative letter, I'm not even going to print it. No, it doesn't work that way, especially in this environment. You want to make a statement? You want to draw a parallel between Italian-American people and organized crime and take my family and draw a parallel to organized crime? New York Post puts my father, myself, and my brother on the cover as the Godfather family. Casey Siler runs a column that they say was supposed to be a joke, likening Italian Americans to the Godfather, organized crime. No, that's not a joke. It's not a joke to say Italian Americans are mafios. That's not a joke. And if you meant it as a joke, it was a bad joke. It's an ethnic stereotype and a slur. And people should have no tolerance. And I have no tolerance for anti-Italian-American. I have no tolerance for anti-Semitism. I have no tolerance for anti-LGBTQ. Wherever it rears its head, I will be there to fight it. Any columnist who says it, I will be there to fight it. And the Times Union should have had the good grace, in my opinion, to say, sorry, I meant it as a joke. I didn't mean to be offensive. And for them not to say that, I think is a disservice to the Italian-American community. And that's what the head Italian-American organization in the state said. I think what the New York Post did and what the Times Union did was ethnic stereotyping at a very dangerous time in this nation where you have this American cancer spreading. And be careful when you're lighting matches when you know the forest is burning.
We only have a few minutes, Governor. I wanted to ask you quickly, license plates. You've been pushing back this week over bipartisan criticism of your administration's plan to charge $25 for new plates if their plates are older than a decade and another $20 to keep the same number. Why isn't this a cash grab? Can't plate readers already, read New York plates?
You know, people get frustrated. They say they don't know what to believe when they read the newspaper and they listen to the news. I understand their frustration. This was the greatest scam and lack of reporting accuracy. Legislators say the governor is charging a $25 fee. You know, the fact is the legislature set the $25 fee 10 years ago before I was governor. People have paid $25 for license plates for the past 10 years by law. Senator Spectrum News report, but Republican senators say the governor's fee. It's been in law every year for 10 years. Why didn't you change the fee? So I didn't set the $25. It's been there since before I was governor. Democratic senator said it. I said, you want to come, but you passed it. It's your fault. You want to come back on a special session and change it? Come tomorrow.
Okay.
I welcome you.
Listen, Governor,
well,
Here's the second point.
Here's the second point, Alan.
Well, you only
second
have a minute.
Second point is the license plates are now important because the license plate readers have to be able to read them. Otherwise, people won't be sent the toll bill. We're going to electronic tolling, which means if it doesn't read your plate correctly, you don't pay the toll. The national standard for license, the life of a license plate is 10 years.
Yeah, but why should people pay for it? Why not just say, okay, we want to give you a new license plate, but you don't have to pay $25. That's too much. And by the way, we have 1 minute to go.
You can get, yes. Look, if they want to, the legislature comes back, they want to change the cost of a license plate, they can do that. They want to change the cost of a fishing license, they can do that. They want to change the tax code, they can do that. They set the fee 10 years ago. You want to reduce it? I'm all in favor of it. But don't say, the way you said, the governor set a $25 fee. Say, Senator Tedesco, you said it. Senator Carlucci, you said it. Senator Skoufis, you said it. And it's been in law for 10 years. People have been paying $25. Change the law, Senator.
Okay, I want to congratulate you on one thing, Governor, and that's you're throwing out the low-level marijuana convictions, which were expunged as part of New York's decriminalization law. I would like to spend more time on it, but it's long overdue, and I'm glad you did it.
Thank you. That doesn't you're not in that category, are you, by any chance, Doctor?
No. I never smoked marijuana in my life. And I know everybody else laughs about that because I was a bearded professor and I used to tell my students that and they would roar. But I never did. Now I have some appreciation because of a bad back for CBD. And that seems to work for me a little bit. So I just want to mention that. And anyway, there's so many things we can be talking about. And I hope you'll come back and we can talk about things like fusion voting, because I have some big thoughts on that. So maybe you'll come back another time, yes?
Of course. If you invite me, I will come.
You're invited. You're always invited.
Okay.
Thank you, Governor. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you.